Mark chapter number 5. I'll begin reading in verse number 25. Blessed Heavenly Father, God, as I bow again this morning in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus, thanking you, dear God, that you watched over us in the night. God, you give us good rest. Dear Lord, you got us up this morning and brought us into your house and met us here. I thank you, dear God. I thank you, dear Lord, for this privilege we have of the freedom of worship. Thank you. We thank you, dear God, for this good place we have to come and meet you and worship you. I thank you for these people. And I pray now, God, that you would help us from the Word of God. Oh, dear God, I pray that the Spirit of God would move in this place today unhindered. And may the Holy Ghost bring great conviction on sinners. And they'd come to Christ. And our Father, I pray that every heart in the house would be encouraged from the good Word of God. Make it easy to preach. And I pray, dear Lord, that the good will of God be done in our hearts, and we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you for all that you do, for we ask it in Christ's name. For his sake I pray. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 25. The Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, you can't touch him and not know it. You can touch me, you can touch a lot of people and never know it. But you'll never touch Christ and not know it. Came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He'll bring the truth out in you. And he said unto her, daughter. Now she was just a certain woman in the crowd. But now he identifies her as a daughter. All that she's done since she is just somebody in the crowd was touch the Lord Jesus by faith. Boy, I'm glad to thank God that there is a place in the family of God for a sinner that'll trust Christ by faith. Thy faith has made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Verse number 26. The Bible says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I'm interested in this phrase. And had suffered many things of many physicians. I want to preach on this subject for a few minutes this morning. She changed doctors. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that we have a great physician that we can get to that can help us when nobody else can. We read in this passage about pain. And there is pain that's involved with sin. And we read about a price, one that she could not pay. We also read about a plague. And the same plague that was plaguing then is plaguing us now, the plague of sin. We just name it different things and we put different labels on it, but it's still the same thing that's always plagued us and always plagued everybody down through the ages is sin. But thank God she got to a place where that she could get help and she left with peace in her heart. I remember the time. I remember the place. I can tell you the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me. You'll notice in our passage that this woman never did get any better. You can do whatever you want to do. You can try whatever you want to try. But you won't ever get any better. You could ask her today, said, well, how are you doing? She would have said, I'm worse. You could have seen her after she went to another doctor and asked her, said, how are you doing? And she would have told you, I am worse. She never got better. But thank God when she met the man called Jesus, she did not get better. She didn't tell anybody, said, well, I'm doing better, I've turned over a new leaf. But when she met Jesus, she went all the way from worse to well. And that's the way He operates. He don't make you just get better and better. And I've heard people said, well, I'm a working on it. I'm getting better and I'm getting better. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. No, no. Won't work. You got to get in to see the great physician. And thank God, I'm glad that He'll take you from the lowest to the highest. He'll take you from the worst and make you well. Three things I'm through. They had to be some reason why that she kept changing doctors. Now watch your Bible, verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. She changed doctors because of the length of her sickness. She had been sick long enough. And she had a blood problem. I'll tell you what was wrong with every one of us. Is that we had a blood problem. Our blood was contaminated. We had blood poisoning and it will kill you. She had a blood problem and she'd been sick long enough. And I tell you, when you'll get to the doctors when you've been sick long enough. I know that by my own experience and I know that by all the things that I've been through with Bonnie and she'll say, I'm in bad shape. I said, you want to go to the doctor? She said, no. I said, okay. And then, Brother Ken, the next day she'll say, I'm in awful shape. I said, you want to go to the doctor? No. But about the third or fourth day, she'll say, I have got to go to the doctor. She's been sick long enough. I'll tell you, sinner, when you'll go to the doctor, when the Holy Ghost makes you sick enough, won't nobody have to drag you? Won't nobody have to drag you or tie you? Won't nobody have to mistreat you, but I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll get to the doctor. When you've been sick long enough, you will get to the doctor, and he's the only one that can fix your blood problem. Nobody else can fix a problem that you've got. Nobody can fix my problem. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a great physician that can take care of your problem. But he won't fix it until you've been sick long enough. There was a lame man in the book of Acts chapter number 3. In this lame man, you'll find in verse number 2, he's lame. He's laid. Verse number 4, you'll find that he looked. And verse number 7, you'll find that he was lifted. And verse number 8, you will find him leaping. He never did get no better. He never did get a bit better. And he did not go from lame to limping. But he went from lame to leaping. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, there's no middle ground. No middle ground with this thing called salvation. Either you got it or you ain't got it. I'm glad that he'll save you to the, hallelujah, saves to the uttermost. And so, here, she's got this blood problem. You remember the man in John chapter 9 had the blind problem. And Jesus come by and he said to him, and he said, then the blind man said, one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. He never did say, well, I can see a little bit. He never did say, well, my sight's better. No, he said, I was blind, and now I see. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the fixing business. He will fix you for heaven. She's been sick long enough. She's got a blood problem. Now watch your Bible, verse number 26. And had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now she's been sick long enough because of the length of her sickness, and she had a blood problem. But number two, she changed doctors because of the load of her spending. And now she has a banking problem. You just go from one problem to the other. You get one fixed, and then you've got another problem. She's already spent all she had. And when you spend all you've got, that's when you've got a banking problem. You said, well, what is a banking problem? Well, it's when you're out of money. I know my daddy used to go to the bank and borrow money, and he paid it back. But we've changed that now to make it sound better. We say, well, I've got to run down to the bank and make some arrangements. You'll have to pay them arrangements back just like you do when you borrow money. Same thing, just different. Sounds better. Just like you going down there to loan the bank some money. When you're out of money, honey, you're out of money. You have a problem. She had a spending. She had already spent everything she had, and nothing got better. It got worse. You can spend every dime you can get a hold of and go to hell anyhow. You can spend, I don't care how much money you get a hold of. I don't care how many doctors you see. You can still go to hell anyhow. You don't get in by wealth. It's not by wealth, it's not by works, and you don't walk in, but thank God you can get washed in. Well, I'm glad for the blood that hath saved, it saves us and keeps us saved. Hallelujah. And I've never met nobody coming back. This is a one-way thing we're on. That's the reason it's narrow. No place to turn around. No pull-outs. No rest areas. Thank God. I've never even met nobody backing up. I'm saying to you, thank God, it is the blood. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I say hallelujah for the blood of the Lamb. So she spent all that she had. Now, if you do that at a medical doctor, he'll tell you something like this. When your insurance is run out and your cash is gone, your Medicaid and your Medicare and who cares and everything else is gone. He'll get to nobody cares. And he'll say something like this, that, well, really and truly, I haven't been able to find your problem,
And I need to send you somebody else. But I know a physician, whether you've got $1 million or whether you're broke as a hand, this is what he'll say, Brother Mike. Come without money or come without price. He said, I put no price tag on my services. I'm glad that I know a great physician like that. Thank God that you can come and get help from him without any money whatsoever. I heard a man testify one time in a service when I got through preaching, all the callers over, and he stood up and asked the pastor, could he testify? He said, you sure can. Tears run off his face and dripped off on the floor. And he said, there's one time that I had $700,000. He said, I had all the farmland that a man would ever want to work. Said, I had every piece of equipment that a man would ever need. But he said, I had no peace. And he said, I tried to find peace in gambling. I tried to find peace in drinking. No peace. He said, I spent every dime I had. I lost all my land. I have no equipment. I'm broke. Don't have anything in this world. And said, I spent it all and found no peace. But said, after I spent all I had, lost everything I had, said, God saved me by His marvelous grace. He said, I don't have anything left tonight. But he said, I got peace down in my heart. He said, it's worth more than all the things that I ever had, all the parties I ever throwed, everything I ever had. He said, I wouldn't trade the peace of God tonight back for all that I ever had. Thank God it's not in this world. It's not what you can get a hold in your hand, but it's what's in your heart that gives you that deep soul of peace. I say glory to the Lamb of God. I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. It's not what we handle. It's not what we hold. But it's who holds us, and it's who handles us. It's the great God of this universe that's got us in His hand. Hallelujah to His good name. Broke, not a dime. Nowhere to turn to, nowhere to go. The God of all grace said, come, and you won't get a bill. The first of the month. Then when the man was testifying, he said, pray for my daughter. He said, while I was at church Sunday, she OD'd on drugs. You're right, Brother Mike. There's a message. The other side of sin. The devil paints a pretty picture, but it never turns it around and let you see the other side of it. He shows you the big times, but he don't show you the bad times. No, he'll never turn it around and let you see the other side of sin. He just shows you the front side. And all the glamour and all the glitter, all that he shows you in sin, but he never turns it around and lets you see the other side. Because of the length of her sickness, she had a blood problem. The load of her spending, she had a banking problem. Let me give you this some proof. What's your Bible now? In verse number 28. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She changed doctors because of the love of the Savior. Now, she had a blood problem. She had a banking problem, but now she's got a blessing problem. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. My God, it'd be bad to live without some kind of problem. I'd rather have a blessing problem than to have a banking problem or to have a blood problem. And so she has got a blessing problem. Why? Because of the love of the Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the reason why, thank God that we can shout the victory today, is because of how much God loved us. He loved us before we ever loved Him. In your Bible, in the book of John, chapter number 5, you'll find the crippled man at the pool at Bethesda. And you'll find in John 5 and verse number 6. It says that when Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He says unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" When we go to a doctor down here and he gets to the place that he does not know what is wrong with us or our case is so bad, he has to refer us to some other doctor. And there's a lot of times when our case is hopeless and they will send us to another doctor. And when we go, we have to carry a suitcase full of x-rays that's already been made. But when you go to our great physician, he needs no x-rays that somebody else says maybe you. He could care less how they see you. He says, "I already know." He says, "I already saw that." He said, I know all about that." And we have to care all of our blood work. But if you get in to see the great physician, he does his own blood work. He is a blood specialist. And he said, "Nobody else's blood will do." And then we have to care all of our records when we go to another doctor. But when we get in to see the great physicians, he says, "What records are you talking about?" Boy, I'm glad, thank God. When the world got through with me and I've done tried it all, I got in to see the great physician. Here is a man that's been laying here 38-year cripple. And it says in verse number 6, and where that Jesus said, and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. Jesus knew that he was a miserable case. Every sinner is a miserable case. You're miserable in yourself. You're miserable around anybody. You are just a miserable case. And it said, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" Now, they crippled people, according to the first verses of this chapter, they crippled and lame people are laying everywhere. But I'll tell you what Jesus did. He stepped around this one. He stepped over three or four here. And he eased around these. Come right up to that one man and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I remember the night that he come where I was at and stepped up and spoke to me. I don't know how many he walked over. I don't know how many went around. I don't know how many went by. But hallelujah, I know where he stopped at when he come where I was and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Some people don't believe that. Some people can't get that down. Get you a good glass of water and get her down, honey. You better be a praising God that you saved today. You better be a shouting of victory. God could have stepped around you. God could have walked over you. God could have kicked you out of the way. But He come where you was at, and He took your miserable case.
Hallelujah to God. I remember the night he said, "You're a miserable case." And he said, "I'll take your case." I said, "I believe I'll let you have it." Everybody else can try your case and you'll go to hell. You can give it to everybody else and hell will be your home. But I'll tell you what you do. You turn your case over to the great physician. He can handle it. He'll fix you for the glory world. And he'll take your case. You said, what kind of cases does he take? Only hopeless cases. Only hopeless case. Only helpless case. You said, "I can't find no help. I have no hope." He'll take your case. Yes, he will. Huh? Miserable case. The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He said, "I have no man." He said, "Well, since I'm taking your case, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to bypass the man." That's how important you are. He said, "Since I'm taking your case today, we'll just bypass the man." God can save a sinner without any help whatsoever. But we think we've got to be the go-between. No, we've got to get out of the way. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Have no man to put me in the water." He said, "Since I'm taking your case today, we'll bypass the water." I'm not preaching against baptism, but there's some people think if you don't go to heaven wet, you ain't going. I'm going dry as a chip. You hear what I'm saying? Sure, I've been baptized. That's what you're doing to get saved. But thank God, I'm glad that God will save you before you're baptized. And if you don't, you can be ducked 40 times and never be baptized. He said, "I'll tell you what. Since I'm taking your case today, we'll just bypass this water. We'll just bypass the man." Now, this thing about being where God's at, God dealing with your heart. And the man said, "Now, what are we going to do about it? I have no man. And I can't get no water." And you're sitting in a waiting room at the doctor's office. All of you experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. And you always, that's the reason they call them waiting rooms. Or you just ain't going to just walk right in. It is a waiting room. And that's where you will wait, in the waiting room. It makes no difference what time is on your little card. Hello? Don't look at the time, look at the date. Everybody waits in the waiting room. I don't care if there's nobody in there. When you get there, you got to wait in the waiting room. And so, we've all been in the waiting room. And this man said, "Somebody will get ahead of me." He said to Jesus, he said, "Before I can get there, somebody will step it down. Somebody will get ahead of me." Well, so we're in the waiting room at the doctor's office. I have never seen the nurse or the receptionist come to the door and say, "Y'all all, come on in." But I'll tell you what she will do. She'll step to the door and she'll say, "Mr. LaVon Boatner, you're next. Would you come on in?" Nobody gets up and goes in but me. I'm next. Thank God. I'm glad when the Holy Ghost steps to the door of the waiting room and calls you by name. You can get in to see the doctor. He's awaiting to see you. He, matter of fact, he's expecting you to be the next one to come walking in. Hallelujah.
Thank God you can get in to see Him. Now this thing about sitting in the waiting room, because we are a miserable case, you remember this. You'll read in the paper, you'll hear on the news how many people die in the waiting room. That's where we were when we were sinners, was in hell's waiting room. You can wait one day too late. That's right. You're in the waiting room today as a sinner, and you sit there and die and go to hell. See, you ought to got in to see Him yesterday. Now, in this thing about waiting to see Him, He said, you're a miserable case. But I like what it says in verse number 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was. Now, this thing about being saved, you'll find, is a merciful cure. He's a miserable case, but there's a merciful cure. God has saved him by His marvelous grace. And then that crowd that's looking on tells this man, says, God don't do that today. That's right. Said, that's not the way God does it. Said, God don't do that today. He's done healed him. He stand up and got his bed up over his head. And they say to him, said, God don't do that today. He said, he don't. No. Said, he don't do that today. And he said, God hadn't done nothing for you. He said, he hadn't. He said, no. He said, by the way, who was it told you to get up and take your bed? He said, I don't know. He said, you don't know. He said, I don't know who he was. He said, well, he ain't done nothing for you. He said, oh, he ain't? No, he said, he ain't done nothing. If that's all you know. And said, if you don't know no more than that, and said, if you didn't say it right, said, he ain't done nothing for you. Said, he ain't. It's a merciful cure. It's by the mercy and the grace of God that we all don't go to hell. Now, this thing about mercy. Nobody is allergic to mercy. He does not have to run an allergy test on you to see if you're allergic to mercy. Nobody is allergic to mercy. But there are some side effects to it. You said, what do you mean? I said, well, they just are. And the thing about these side effects is I'll break out on you anytime, anywhere. You'll never know when you're going to have a reaction. Mercy. That's the reason we act like we do. That's the reason why some folks don't like to be around us. Said that crowd liable to do anything, anytime. God, that's a side effect of what God is doing in my heart. But now listen. He's never had one patient to relapse. You hear me well when you get in to see the great physician and you experience the saving grace of God. You'll never have that problem again. You will never have that problem again. But I tell you what, sometime you'll have to come in for a checkup. Some of you look like you're way overdue. You'll have to come in for a checkup. You said, well, I won't. Well, he'll sin, get you. My God, I'd rather come in for a checkup is to be hauled in. Now, if I'm doing real well, I don't mind going in for a checkup. So how you doing, priest? I said, well, I've lost 12 pounds. My heart's a hitting every lick. Blood pressure's down. Cholesterol's down. and I'm on a diet, I don't mind going in the season. But when I've gained about 18, hearts are skipping about every other lick, eating everything I can catch and find, I don't want to go in. That's right. You can put that over in the spiritual side. And if everything's all right, I don't mind running down this altar. Oh, dear God, said, look at me, God. Said, I don't know of a thing that's wrong in my life. I'm going to go down the altar. But I tell you, when you hate to come down here, when you're about half out with God and mad at everybody at the church and everybody at the house, can't nobody stand you. You don't want to, you say, well, why don't I? Because He's going to give you something to get you over what's wrong with you. Because He's your doctor on you. That's the reason why. It's when you get, you better get down here and get in for a checkup. You said, why? I said, well, if you don't, it's a whole lot better to have a checkup here than it is at the emergency room. Because if he has to see and get you, it's going to be a whole lot worse. And they said to him, says, you mean to tell me that God done all, you don't even know who done this? And he said, no, he's a miserable case. Merciful cure. But then you find in verse number 14, after Jesus findeth him in the temple, he found him in the middle of the church. I'll tell you where God will put you when he saves you. He'll put you in the church. And when the old boy got to the temple, got in the church, he saw Jesus. And he said, I know who you are. He said, oh, now I know who you are. I'll tell you where you'll learn something about him, man. And I'll tell you where you'll see him more often. He's down at the church house. He went back and told that crowd, he said, hey! He said, now I know who it was! Said, I saw him at the church house. That is where you will see him. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that I got in to see the great physician. Sinner, he'll take your case, you hopeless and helpless. On your way to hell, but I tell you what he'll do. If you'll take your hands off it and get to him, he'll take your case. We had a blood problem, a banking problem, but now we that are saved got a blessing problem. Oh, but sinner, if I was you. You say, well, what? The doctor is in. He's a seeing patient. And he'll take your case. Boy, there's something about when you get well, you get to looking better. You get to feeling better. There'll be a glow about you. I'm glad for the day that the Holy Ghost stepped to the door to the waiting room, called my name. I've had to go in for a lot of checkups, and I'll have to go back for a lot more. But hallelujah. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. God help us. We've all got a blessing problem. We couldn't write all our blessings down on a piece of paper today. But we could bow our heads and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for being so good.